What a day that will be. Amen. 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 Just remain standing. If you will, turn to Psalm chapter 90. Psalm number 90. Amen. And I mentioned this morning that I didn't think that I was prepared to complete that Sermon on the Mount with the conclusion. I feel like I need to look at some things in that a little bit more before we go there. This is a thought that I've got here. I tried to meditate on where to go, and a thought, I've preached on this thought before, and I don't believe it'll be long. I'll be like the song, I won't be long, amen, and don't think that it will, but I'll do my best to give you the thought. And matter of fact, we didn't orchestrate the songs, Brother Bell and I didn't get together and coordinate them, but they've been coordinated. That's pretty obvious. I believe that was the hand of God, and it goes right with our thought here in Psalm 90. So if you found your place there, verse number 1, I'm just going to read verse 1. I'm going to preach a topical message this evening from verse number 1. First of all, you got the heading that says, A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. Amen. Verse 1, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Amen. Amen. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. I want to try to preach tonight on this thought. This world is not my home. Amen. Amen. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, for who has been announcing.
Yes.
One blessing has been saying about Lord, those
about our going
home.
Yes. Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, the thought, just really the title, This World is Not My Home. There's a song in the church hymnal that says that. This world's not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up, and the song says somewhere, but I know right where. Beyond the blue. Amen. Our hopes are laid up in heaven with our Lord. And Moses said that here in this particular psalm. As I say, I don't have a long message. Not an amazing message. Not going to show you a depth that you've not seen already. But just remind you of really the foundational truth and the wonderful truth that we have a home. Those that are saved have a home, and it's not in this world. I was reading in my daily Bible reading again yesterday, I think that's right, yesterday I finished up the book of Leviticus. And if the Lord will help me, by the way, if the Lord will help me this year, I've completed it one time, and if the Lord will help me, and I'm on schedule to complete it a second time this year, it'll be the first time I've ever done it twice in one year. The last 2 years I did it 3 times in 2, but I've never done it twice in one. And I was thinking, boy, I'm doing good, God's blessing and helping me. And I found out Brother Albert Hardin said that for the last year, he read his Bible through 15 times in 1 year. He said, matter of fact, he said last month, he read it through in 7 days. Amen. And of course, like Brother Travis Clayton, he said, if somebody else told me that, I might doubt it. But he said, if Albert Hardin told me that a chicken picks cotton, I'd get him a sack. Amen. He's reading his Bible. But here's what, in reading, and I just said all that, really. My mind, to go back to that, I was reading and finished up Leviticus, and then today started Deuteronomy. And I think the first 4 chapters of Deuteronomy, maybe 5 this morning. And Deuteronomy is the rehashing and the rehearsing of the law to Israel. But God said this to Israel. He said, you're going into a land that I'm going to give you. And here's a phrase he said, I'm going to give you that land forever. Forever. Amen. That land does not belong to the Palestinians. It belongs to the children of Israel. Amen. And it will belong to them forever. Amen. But I'm glad I've got a better inheritance than the children of Israel have. Amen. Better than the promised land on earth. We have a promised land in glory. Amen. We have an eternal habitation and a place of victory forever there at the side of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And so looking at this psalm, Psalm number 90 has the distinction of being the only psalm in all your Bible that is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Many of the psalms are more than songs, they are prayers. Matter of fact, many of our songs are prayers, like the song, "Draw Me Nearer, Nearer, Blessed Lord." Amen. Several songs that we could think of that are actually prayers. And this has been the prayer of Moses as he lifted that up. And he begins that prayer by giving praise unto God. And he says to God in verse number 1, "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." Moses is saying to God, "God..." And by the way, I don't know when this psalm was written. It's interesting to think about it. Moses was not in the promised land when he said, "Lord, you've been our dwelling place." Amen. Moses never got to settle in the promised land. And yet he said, "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." He's not only saying God is our dwelling place, but he's saying God always has been our dwelling place. There's never been home outside of God. Amen. And I believe that is true, and Moses saw that. In other words, Moses had realized that there's no home in this world apart from God. Amen. No place at home in this world except for in God. I thought about Moses' life had three distinct periods, 40 years in each period. You know that. The first 40 years of Moses' life was in Egypt. Moses turned his back on Pharaoh's house and said, "That's not my home." He turned his back on Pharaoh's house and went into the wilderness, recognizing that Pharaoh's house was not his home. Then after 40 years spending in the backside of the desert, there watching his father-in-law's sheep, Moses turned his back on that, realizing that's not his home. God said, "Go back down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go." Amen. Now, I think this is probably when this psalm was written. Israel has spent 40 years headed to the promised land, but wandering around because they refused to go in when God said, "Now's the time to go in." They refused that, and so they have come to this place. Here's the way I picture it. I picture Moses up on the mountain. I mean, all through Moses' life, he's up on the mountain with God. He's up on the mountain getting the commandments. He's up on the mountain when God says, "Come here and look over." You can see it, but you can't set foot in it. You can see it, but you can't stay there. And so God allowed Moses to look over. And here's what I believe. Moses said, "You know, Egypt wasn't my home. And the backside of the desert wasn't my home. And these 40 years wandering in the wilderness has not been my home. But I do have a home. Matter of fact, I've always had a home. And my home has been where God is." Amen. Amen. God is our dwelling place. That's the phrase that he said there. So I'd like to think about that this morning. Or this evening. Now, think about dwelling place. I'll use the word home because that's what I think of. I know a home or a house is our dwelling place. We talked about that this morning. Building the house on the rock, building the house on the sand. And that deals with a home as well. What you live in, your abode, where you abide there. Well, our abode needs to be with God. Amen. No matter where we are on this planet, no matter where we are in this world, Paul said, "I have found that in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content." Amen. We ought to make our home with Jesus. Now think about that. Three things I want to point out to you this evening on the thought, this world is not our home, or this world's not my home, as you think about it. First of all, before I get to that last thing about our home in heaven, I want to think about what this world is. This world is something. It's a temporary home. Amen. We use a connotation a lot of times in our mind. For example, we recently said that Joshua Bell has now started a home of his own. Now, he grew up in his parents' home, but that's a temporary home. Those of you children or young people that are in your parents' home, that's a temporary home. It's a training place. Amen. By the way, that's what this world is. It's a temporary place, but it's a training place. So we can learn to follow the Lord. So we can learn to stand on our own two feet. So we can learn to make proper decisions in following the Lord. Amen. But when the marriage takes place, we say they've started their own home. Well, there's coming a day when there's a wedding going to take place, and we're headed there in the skies. Amen. And I am glad that's true. Well, some things about what this world is. I said it's a temporary place, it's a training place. I'll say some more about that in just a minute. But this world, we have to admit that there is much beauty in this world in many aspects. You think about the sun rises and the sun sets. Amen. Thank God for artists. Artists can capture beauty, but they can't paint it like God paints it every day on a moving canvas. Amen. You think about the stars in the sky that we view from earth. You think about the moon in the sky, the sun in the sky. Those things are beautiful when we think about that. The mountains and the valleys, the harvest fields that are across our world. It's beautiful to look out over the field, see the grain or see the corn standing tall. Amen. Beautiful to see the plants as they grow. Beautiful to see the forests across this great land and this great planet that we live on. I'm saying those things are beautiful, but they're temporary. Amen. They're temporary. We think about the fruits and the flowers, the days and the nights. All those things on this earth have beauty in their place and beauty in their own way. But there's a lot of things on this earth that are not beautiful. Amen. There's a lot of things on this earth that are not beautiful. This world is a lodging place. It's a tent. It's a tabernacle. Amen. It's a temporary training ground, but it's not home. Four things I think about what the world is. First of all, our world is a changing world. It's diverse. It keeps changing. Amen. Everything around us keeps moving and altering. Amen. We back there at the camp meeting we were in this past week, and we see children that are, it's amazing how much they've grown in 1 year's time. It seems like you're shocked at how tall these children are getting to be. I think about our oldest granddaughter just told Melissa yesterday she wanted to call and talk to Nana. And she told Nana she's got a loose tooth. I say, praise God, have I got a granddaughter old enough to start getting loose teeth? Amen. Now, when I was a boy, me and my brother, we had loose teeth at 2 years old. And we had a reason for having loose teeth. But most kids, they get up a little bit older. But she's getting there. I'm just simply saying, people grow up and people grow old. Things change. Things change. It's continually moving. It's continually altering. And then people and things pass away. You drive by houses that are no longer there. It's a vacant field now or a vacant lot. You go by places where people you once knew are not there any longer. We see that families move on. Properties are sold. Amen. Landlords change. Different things. We could go on and on. There's a continual moving. It is a changing world. I thought about this as I was preparing this message, that I was thinking about how quickly things change, and especially in American culture, and especially in the years in which we live, the generation we live in. There was a time when, for example, I'll use the Halls, for example. There was a time when the Hall family had their holla, Hall holla, and everybody in the family lived there and stayed there till they died. But it's not been that way in a while. Halls moved from Indiana to Kentucky. They moved from Kentucky to Arizona. They moved back to Kentucky. They're moving around. Then you got family scattered all over now. You've got them, you know, you've got them in Germany. You've got them all over the, not just the country, all over the world. Same thing I can think about the shepherds, different ones. I'm just simply saying, as time moves, as things move and people move, this is a changing world. I believe this, that in a world that is so given to change, we can't put our anchors down too deep. This can't be our home. It's changing too quickly. Amen. This world is not my home. I believe some of these changes, God allows the world to be so full of change to help us realize this world is not our home. I don't want to stay here forever and ever. Amen. Somebody said to Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door and say, did you know you could inherit the earth? And they say, praise God, who would want it? Amen. I got a better country. Amen. That song, I'm going to a better country. Amen. And it won't be long. Well, it's not only a diverse, a changing world. It's number two, it's a disappointing world that we live in. Amen. If you've lived a few years, you know what disappointments are. You know the disappointments that come into the world. Amen. We got folks, I mentioned about Joshua Bell getting married recently. Joshua Shepherd looking towards marriage with anticipation. Amen. Marriage has its blessings, but it also has its trials.
Right.
Singlehood has its trials.
Man.
Parenthood has its trials. Childhood has its trials. Amen. Having brothers and sisters has its trials. I'm simply saying this world we're living in is a disappointing world. Sometimes financial matters have their difficulties. Amen. Sometimes we have health discouragements, disappointments. Amen. We get a little bit older, and I'm getting there. I don't consider myself old by any means, but I look at things I used to could do that I can't hardly do like I did once before. Amen. Back a few years ago, I don't know, it's probably been 4 or 5 years ago now, was at the youth camp, the they call it camp out there in Fisherville, the same place I was at this time, but a different meeting that they have in September. And after the service that night, they decided to get up a volleyball game. And I love volleyball, but I can't play it like I used to did. Somebody hit me a perfect spike. I mean, it was perfect, right? All I had to do is ram it down their throat. Perfect. Only I didn't get up as high as I used to get up. I stretched my arm and swung so hard, I missed the whole ball, missed everything, except threw my shoulder out. And I hurt for weeks after that. Melissa would say, "Farrell, you're not as young as you used to be." Yeah, you do. That's what a help need is. Amen. Help remind you. You're getting old. You're getting old. Amen. Amen. But it is a disappointing world. Amen. A world so full of disappointments is not a place I want to make my home. I want a home where there's not so many disappointments. And we've got a home like that. Amen. It's not only a diverse world, it's a disappointing world. It's a dying world. Death is all around us. I mentioned about the changes. People move away, but then people move out of this life. Amen. Constantly around us, sometimes even near us. Sometimes we meet it almost face to face with death. Death is a reality. Amen. Very seldom that you can get together year after year, for example, at Christmas gatherings. Very seldom that you go to the gathering that there's not an empty chair where last year somebody sat. This year, they're no longer there. Amen. We look around and we see people that are now passed away. It cuts into our heart and it cuts into our family and it pulls them away from us. Can I say that's part of the disappointments and discouragements, amen, of our world. Amen. Let me say number four, not only it's a diverse and changing world, it's a disappointing world, it's a dying world, but it is a dividing and scattering world. Families continually fall apart and break up. Amen. By the way, let me just plug this. I mentioned during marathon we got a call and I had mentioned about one situation of a couple we knew that's having some trouble. I haven't called any names and I intentionally don't. The less people know, the easier it'll be for them to mend their troubles. Amen. But a couple that I knew about in another state that there had been a separation. I'd found out about another couple that I knew that there was some difficulties and was a, at least a separation again. And found out while we were in Virginia, and then found out after we got here that both of those couples are back together, praise God, and working at mending their problems. And I thank God for that. Not to say that they don't have great difficulty ahead. Not to say that things were done that shouldn't have been done. But thank God they're trying to work through it. Amen. But it is a dividing world. You hear of moms and dads that can't get along with one another. And the children then are left in disappointment. They go in their different directions. Amen. And again we say there's a dividing. It seems like that the cement that ought to hold marriages together sometimes has not even had time to set up properly. before they break it apart and go a separate way. That's how it happens. That's the world we're living in. Amen. It is a dividing world. Can I say that a world so full of death, and a world so full of division, and a world so full of disappointments is not a place I want to make my home. I'm so glad there's a place better than this world where we can call our home. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm glad I'm just passing through. Amen. Headed to a better country. Amen. These things that I mentioned to you are the signs of our world. They are the bitter fruit of sin. Amen. That's why there's death and division and disappointment in the world, is because of the fall that happened in the beginning. Amen. Adam and Eve had a home. First thing God did, after he made the creation, all that He did, He made man. But the Bible said that God made a garden and put the man in that garden. And then God gave him a wife. In other words, God made a home, a place for them to dwell. And God gave them the couple together. And then God walked with them in the cool of the day. And I believe that's what a home is. And by the way, I believe homes can work through their troubles and work through the problems, especially as long as they've got God in their home. Amen. But something happened. They left God out. Eve got to talking to a fella that wasn't, not only was it not God, it was God's enemy. It was the enemy of God. Not only was it not her husband, it was somebody that was the enemy of her husband. She didn't realize that. Not only was he not her friend, he was her enemy as well. She got to talking to that enemy and the home was divided. Adam and Eve sinned, and our world came to a place of change. Our world came to a place of trial. Our world came to a place of death. Our world came to a place of division. All because of the fall of that man, Adam. Amen. But I said to you that there's a better place. Because of these problems that are in this world, we shouldn't want this world to be our home. Amen. We ought to long for something better. Now, here's what I do believe. I believe that while we're in this world, I talked about it being a temporary place. It's a tent. It's a tabernacle. I believe we ought to do our best to ease people's sorrow. I believe we ought to do our best to comfort people when death comes. I believe we ought to do our best to try to make this world as much a better place as we can. Amen. The fact that I talk about who would want the world, and I'm not interested in saving the planet, as they say. We got to save the planet. I'm not interested. But at the same time, I'm not interested in polluting it either. I don't believe y'all just throw trash around and say, well, the Antichrist is going to get it anyway. Let him pick it up. I'm not for that either. I believe we ought to make it as good as we can make it while it is our temporary home. That'll be a blessing to others while we're going along life's way. We ought to resolve in our heart and our mind, we're going to do our best to make every place and everybody a better place and a better person for the glory of God. Amen. Because although this world is a fallen world, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's what the Bible said. Jesus is going to come back one of these days to claim this planet. Amen. So I said what this world is. Number two, I want to talk about where home is. And I've got a couple of scriptures, and this point I won't tarry it. But John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, our Lord Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there," where's there? Where home is, ye may be also. Amen. There's a song that says, home will be anywhere where Jesus is. Or heaven will be anywhere where Jesus is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that great chapter on the resurrection and the body being changed. He says in verses 1 and 2, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Amen. I said to my son-in-law last night, he's talking about his grandfather passing away. And we were talking about changes. Just along this line, what I was saying a minute ago, how that we get older, and we're not able to do what one time we were able to do. I believe that life, God uses life and the the digression, the fact that we get a little weaker, we get a little bit shorter sighted, we can't see as far, we can't run as fast, we can't move as freely, all those things to help us realize this world's not so good after all. And we start longing for something better. When you wake up with pains every day, a new body don't sound so bad, does it? Amen. Amen. When you realize that, you know, the difficulties that are in this life, I believe God is weaning us from this world to help us realize there's a better place, praise God, and we can go to that better place by the good grace of God. Amen. Amen. Heaven is the home of all the saints. Amen. It can be our home. It's an eternal home. It's a satisfying home. It's an inviting home. No changes in glory. It's eternal forever and ever and ever. Amen. In heaven, there'll never be an election as to who gets to sit on the throne. Amen. All the politics, all the campaigning, praise God, will be over. Jesus will be on the throne. There'll be no adversary. There'll be nobody trying to get Him down from the throne. He'll reign, and we'll all be glad that He's reigning and rejoicing in His reigning. Amen. What an inviting place that is. But I'll say this, we're not home yet. Amen. But here back in my text in Psalm 90, Moses is not talking just about heaven being his home. He's talking about who made heaven and earth. Who, not where, home is. Home is God. That's what he said. Lord, verse 1, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Amen. Amen. The Lord is our home. Amen. Moses recognized that the only place on earth that you can find peace is in God. The only place on earth you can find true happiness and joy is in God. The only place you can find satisfaction, real satisfaction, is in God. Amen. The only place you can find real contentment is in the Lord. Amen. Moses recognized that. It's good for us to recognize it also. Jesus Christ is the only place we can find mercy and forgiveness and joy and peace. Amen. Amen. Our Lord said this in Matthew 11:28. You know it well. Come unto me. Not where you're coming. It's who you're coming to. Come unto me. Where is it? Wherever He is. Come to Him. I mentioned some people meet Jesus in the altar. Bob Carrico met Jesus in the aisle. Brother Jeremy Smith met Jesus in the bathroom. And we say, and that's not, I'm not being sacrilegious about that, but satisfaction's not in the physical place, but it's in the person is what we're talking about. Amen. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. There's peace and contentment found, a home found in Jesus. We sing that song, Lord, I'm coming home. I think about, when I hear that song generally, I think about the prodigal son. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. But home is not necessarily the Father's house. Home is the Father. Amen. When the prodigal started home and his father saw him yet a great way off and ran out to meet him, when his father didn't meet him with a punch, didn't meet him with a chastening, didn't meet him with a discipline, but he met him with love. Here's what I believe. I believe the prodigal son felt like he was at home. He hadn't got home yet. He hadn't got to the house, but he'd got to the Father. Amen. Our home is in Jesus. Not when we get to heaven. It's when we get to Jesus. When you get saved, you have peace. You have satisfaction. You have a home in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me to John chapter number 7, a very probably familiar, but a great text of Scripture. Our Lord speaking at that last great day of the feast. I'm winding her down with this. The Lord is our home. Amen. John 7, verse 37. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen and amen. You know what that idea, the picture that our Lord has given there? You want to find a home? Come to me. You want to find joy? Come to me. You want to find satisfaction? Come to me. You want to find contentment? Come to me. That's what our Lord is saying in that picture. Amen. And so our Lord used that. When we think the word home, it's almost the sweetest word in the English language. It is. Amen. We were in Virginia last week, and as we were coming back, I told Melissa, she asked what time we were going to leave. I said, let's leave early. And that way we can beat traffic and get, and it was a real blessing. But as we're headed down the road, and she's not all that excited about leaving real early, and I'm sure she wasn't all that excited about leaving her mom and dad and leaving Whitney and the grandbaby there behind. I'm sure all that wasn't excited, but I said to her, I said, are you glad to be headed home? And she said, I sure am. Amen. Home is a sweet place, isn't it? The word home is a sweet word. It paints a picture of happiness. It paints a picture of wholesomeness. Amen. Paints a picture of peace and bliss. And our Lord uses this to tell us that's what you get when you come to Jesus. When you come to Him, you finally make it home, as they say. Amen. In the midst of a dying, changing world, in the midst of a disappointing, discouraging world, there's a place of comfort. There's a place of contentment. Where is that? Come to Jesus. That's where it's at. You can come to Jesus and find that peace. Amen. Amen. Now, you can go to a Christian. Christians can be robbed, for example. They can have their money taken away. They can have their houses taken away. They can even have their life taken away. But they can't have their peace taken away. They can't have their assurance of salvation taken away. Amen. I remember reading, and I don't remember which martyr it was, but reading either in Fox's Book of Martyr or Martyr's Mirror, both of them good. I like Martyr's Mirror better, personally, because it deals more with Baptists than Protestants. Fox's Book of Martyr deals primarily with Protestants and a few Baptists. But in those martyrs, as they were killing these men, I believe it's Fox's book because I believe this man was a Protestant. And one of the things they do, for example, if it is a Protestant, if many of those reformers were priests, they were Catholic priests, and they saw some truth and they pulled out of Catholicism and they started, for example, their own religion or their own denomination. You've got Martin Luther was a Catholic priest before he got saved and became a priest of Lutheranism. Matter of fact, it's based on the whole Catholic system. John Calvin was a Catholic priest. Matter of fact, John Calvin drew a check from the Catholic Church till the day he died. He never renounced it. You got a lot of those men. Menno Simmons, Anabaptist, later was a Catholic priest before he got saved. Those men, when they are martyred, the way the Catholic Church has it set up, priests are above judgment because priests are on a higher status than normal humans. They can't be judged. By the way, that's why the Pope and all them crowd, they're not saying much about these men molesting boys. They won't say much about it because in their mind, priests are above any judgment. They're above the law. But the only way they can deal with them to bring them down where they can be dealt with the law, they have to defrock them. They derobe them. They take their vestments away from them. They take their robes. They take their priestly garment, their priestly office away, and then they can judge them. And that's what they would do with these men, even though they were Protestants. And they would say to them, for example, and this is what happened. This man, they've got him at the stake. They're getting ready to light the fire. They got all the sticks of wood laid up around him. And by the way, if you read that, those sticks of wood are called faggots. That's not talking about that's not a derogatory term towards sodomites. That's talking about wood that's meant to be burned. That's all it's good for, is to be burned. And probably you understand why that connotation's there. But they would put that wood around this man, and the Catholic priest came, and the priest said this to him. He said, this day I do defrock you. This day I do derobe you. This day I do denounce you. This day I do excommunicate you, and this day I sentence you to an eternity in the regions of the damned. And the man spoke back and he said, you can have my robe, and you can have my priesthood, and you can have my life, but you cannot send me to the regions of the damned, because I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That Catholic Church may have power in a lot of realms, but it does not have power in the realm of salvation, praise God. A Christian can be robbed. His house, his goods, his money, even his life. But you cannot rob him of his home. The song they sang, they can't take Jesus. They'll never take Jesus out of my heart. They can't take that away from me. Amen. They stand to her feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. I preached on the thought, this world is not my home. Do you have a home for the soul? Amen. I hope you have a happy home even while you're on this earth. But I want you to think about this question. Do you have a home for your soul? One of these days, the earthly house you live in is going to be closed up, maybe torn down. Anybody that's outside the ark of safety will be destroyed when the floods of destruction come to this world. The fires that are going to burn this world are going to destroy all those that are outside the ark of safety. But you can find a home in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the Word of God, the encouragement to our heart again that this world is not our home. Though it has beauty, it has also many bad things. Lord, we're thinking of a land that has beauty with no bad, has good with no evil, has light with no darkness, has God with no devil, has joy with no end. Lord, we thank you for it. Help us, dear God, to live for that life. Help us, dear God, to live in Christ what we ought to be for your glory. We'll thank you and praise you. Moving this invitation, I pray, dear God, as would be thy will, would you bring sinners to Christ? Strengthen the saint and encourage them in the Lord. We pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. As we sing, you obey the Lord and do what He says. Page number 40. While we sing, if you need to come, you obey the Lord.